The Public News Service Daily Newscast, July the 23rd, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to be the next president of the U.S. on Monday, and seemingly taking herself out of potential consideration to be the Democrats' running mate. That for the Detroit News. The report asked Monday morning if she was interested in being vice president. Whitmer said, "I am not leaving Michigan." And for the Associated Press, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle said Monday that her agency failed in the mission to protect former President Trump, as lawmakers of both major political parties demanded during a highly contentious congressional hearing that she resign. Next to Texas, where school teachers and staff members, nurses and healthcare workers from around the nation are meeting in Houston for the American Federation of Teachers National Convention.
Tony Malone is a kindergarten teacher in the Bastrop ISD in Central Texas and is attending the convention for the first time. She says she's looking forward to learning from her counterparts from other states.
Being able to meet teachers from other places and see, first of all, that you're not alone, but then also getting ideas about how other people are addressing issues in education.
Malone says she is concerned about the number of veteran teachers who are leaving their profession because of low wages and a poor work-life balance. Some state and national politicians are slated to speak at the convention. It runs through Wednesday. I'm Freda Ross reporting.
During her address, AFT President Randy Weingarten championed the importance of paid parental leave, smaller class sizes, and making schools safe for kids. Now to Indiana, a state stepping up its fight against addiction with a boost from an opioid settlement fund.
The money comes from a $54 billion 2021 opioid settlement fund created by manufacturers, distributors, and retailers to address their role in the nation's opioid epidemic. Indiana will receive $508 million from the fund over the next several years. The Hamilton County Board of Commissioners has announced its grantees. Amy Shadon is founder of Lifehouse Recovery for Women Noblesville, a recipient. She says the grant will help drive her organization.
We run three Lifehouse vans to get all of the ladies to work, 12-step meetings, therapy, doctor's appointments. And so this funding helps with the fuel.
Lifehouse received $21,000. The organization opened in 2017 and served four women in its first year. Today, Lifehouse serves up to 24 women. Several other Hamilton County organizations also receive funding, including the Recovery Cafe, Delta Mental Health Services, Hamilton County Parks and Recreation, Suburban North Club, and JRNY Counseling. I'm Joe Ullery, Indiana News Service.
This is Public News Service. More than 60 million Americans identify as disabled, and many of them turn to nonprofit agencies such as Easter Seals for therapy and other assistance.
The organization that became Easter Seals was founded more than 100 years ago and has become the largest nonprofit healthcare agency in the country. Kendra Davenport, president of the National Easter Seals Organization, says seeing to the health and wellness of more than 1.5 million people with disabilities is only possible with its team of national corporate sponsors who collectively raise millions of dollars each year.
It's critical because it's unlike a for-profit. Nonprofits have to raise their budget, whether they're raising it through government grants, foundations, grants, or corporate funding. And then, of course, there's the funding that comes in through individual donations. That's what sustains nonprofits.
As an example, Davenport cites Century 21 as a partner that raised more than $30 million in 2023 and $138 million during the life of its affiliation. Easter Seals has more than a dozen other corporate partners, including companies like Comcast NBC Universal. Mark Richardson reporting.
Meantime, the Federal Bureau of Land Management has published a new plan for managing public lands that puts oil and gas management in sync with Colorado's big game conservation policies.
Suzanne O'Neill with the Colorado Wildlife Federation says the proposed final plan, which will impact BLM-managed lands in all 64 Colorado counties, is an important move to protect Colorado's iconic wildlife.
It'll help safeguard mule deer, elk, pronghorn, and bighorn sheep habitats. These populations inhabit almost three-quarters of the 8.3 million surface acres that they manage.
The plan would amend management plans for 12 BLM field offices in Colorado by limiting active oil and gas sites to one per square mile in big game high-priority habitat. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, our Roz Brown lets us know that, like little kids everywhere, New Mexico preschoolers balk at eating fresh vegetables. But an educational project has found that, with a creative nudge, they'll try about anything, even purple carrots.
Kids who start off eating processed foods are more likely to suffer health consequences, including obesity and juvenile diabetes. And often, low-income children of color don't have access to local fresh produce. Saida Namaste with the American Friends Service Committee leads an educational project that partners with the federal Head Start program to provide young students with engaging nutrition activities.
If we can intervene with children at a young age, before the age of 8, to shape their palate, to shape their sense of what they want to eat, we have greater success with their health outcomes.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Remember, and listen, support it. Hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.